This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. And Jesus told the people a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. And why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log in your own? Or how can you say to your neighbor, friend, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I tell you? The gospel of the Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that we would hear not just the words of men, but the words of God. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And so, as previously noted, we're now at the last of a four-part teaching series that we call the Simple Series. And in this series, we have been describing and explaining in some detail that model of ministry that we're presently pursuing here at Holy Cross, a model of ministry designed to help us be more authentic disciples of Jesus Christ and to help others to be more authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. Indeed, being disciples of Jesus Christ and helping others to do the same is the church's primary mission. Indeed, and we've read it several times in the last few weeks, Matthew chapter 28 and beginning at verse 18, the risen Christ and prior to his ascension into heaven to the right hand of the power on high said to his disciples, probably in the Galilee. And Luke and Matthew sets it up. He says, and Jesus came and said to them, to his apostles and others that would have been there, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. And go, therefore, and make disciples. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. And so since this is what Jesus wants us to be doing, he wants us to be disciples, he wants us to be making disciples at Holy Cross, as we are attempting as best we can to make this simple purpose our primary focus, indeed the primary focus of everything that we do. And the process for accomplishing this simple purpose is as simple as the purpose itself. Indeed, in order to be disciples of Jesus Christ ourselves and to help others to be disciples, we want to commit ourselves and to invite others to join us in the pursuit of a simple four-step process. Now, to help us get a handle on the process, we've created this simple visual. The first step, and we're at the four, so we've been talking about this for several weeks. The first step is to worship God regularly. The second step is to grow together faithfully. The third step is to serve others lovingly. And the fourth step, which we're looking at today, is to mature in Christ continuously. Indeed, we're talking about that fourth step in the process today. To mature in Christ continually. Indeed, the ultimate goal of the Christian life is not just getting stuff from God or admiring Jesus from afar, Rather, the goal of the Christian life is becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Indeed, the goal of the Christian life is growth and spiritual maturity. And this goal of growth and spiritual maturity, this becoming more and more like Jesus, is not so much a destination at which we arrive, or at least not in this life, but rather it is an ongoing spiritual journey, if you will, from one level of spiritual maturity to the next. Indeed, maturity in Christ is not so much a goal at which we finally arrive as it is an exciting, life-changing transformation process that never ends. Let me say that again. Maturity in Christ is not so much a goal that we finally achieve or at which we finally arrive as it is an exciting, life-changing transformation process that never ends. I heard Chuck Swindoll put it this way some years ago on the radio, of course. He said, the plan of the Christian life is not spiritual perfection. Rather, the plan of the Christian life is spiritual progress. Or as someone else famously put it, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much just to leave you there. And so maturing in Christ is a dynamic, ongoing process. And because it's a process, change and growth are essential to it. Indeed, if you aren't changing and growing and maturing spiritually, that's because you aren't engaged in the process. Indeed, some Christians like to talk about how they're on a journey. But all too often, this kind of language is used in a sort of left-handed way, a left-handed explanation for why the quality of their Christian life isn't quite what they know it should be. We're all on a journey. But if as Christians we're not growing and maturing in the way that we ought to be growing and maturing as time goes by, then if we aren't spiritually adulting, which was a word I learned at Baylor University on one of these times we dropped off our daughter Victoria, that's because we aren't engaged in the process. Indeed, if week after week and month after month or even year after year, as is sometimes the case, we aren't growing and maturing in our faith and practice, that's not because we're on a spiritual journey. But in fact, if this is true of us, this is so because we're not on a spiritual journey. Indeed, if we're not growing and changing and maturing spiritually and becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, that's because we've gotten off the road somewhere and settled down, and the spiritual change has stopped. We've set up someplace along the road to camp out, and because of this, the maturing process within us has been short-circuited. And this is the problems that believers have, and one might say from the very beginning. Indeed, the believers at Corinth were having this same type of problem, and the quality of their common life, by the way, showed it. In fact, Paul, writing to the believers at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and beginning at verse 1, he said to them, and I, brothers and sisters, could not address you as spiritual people, as people that are growing and maturing in the things of the Spirit, but I had to talk to you as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ, as people who are spiritually immature, spiritual babies. I fed you with milk, that's baby food as from a bottle, and not solid food, that is teaching that goes beyond the basics, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not ready, even though you should be ready for it, for you're still of the flesh. For while there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh as opposed to the Spirit? And behaving only in a human way, that is, behaving like people who make no claim to be Christian. The same problem existed with the believers to whom the writer to the Hebrews was writing. In Hebrews chapter 5 and beginning at verse 11, he said, "And about this we have much to say, but it's hard to explain it to you since you've become dull of hearing." I'm spiritually dull. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers," that is to say, by this time you ought to be able to explain this stuff to other people, "you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the Word of God. You need milk, baby food, and not solid food." Indeed, these believers weren't growing and maturing, but instead they were suffering from a sort of spiritual retardation. Adequate time had passed, allowing for growth and change and maturity. Unfortunately, but this hadn't happened. They hadn't grown, and unfortunately, this is sometimes the case still within the church today. And yet, maturity in Christ is the goal of the Christian life. As someone has written, "There is no reward for admiring Jesus, for Jesus isn't looking for admirers. Rather, Jesus is looking for followers, for disciples who are actively learning from him how to live their lives as he lived his." Indeed, the goal of the Christian life isn't just about believing certain things, even though what we believe is important. And the goal of the Christian life isn't just about doing certain things, don't do this and do that, although that's important too. Rather, the goal of the Christian life is to be constantly becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Indeed, this is the sine qua non, if you like, that without which nothing exists, the sine qua non of authentic discipleship. And this is the difference between authentic discipleship and cultural Christianity. Indeed, Jesus doesn't just mean to be our Savior, to forgive us of our sins, and he doesn't just mean to give us peace, you know, and the going gets tough. In addition to this, Jesus means to be our model, our Lord. Indeed, and as we've said, the goal of the Christian life isn't just about getting stuff from Jesus. The goal of the Christian life is about being like Jesus more and more, day by day and step by step. Because we really are on a journey. Even if those steps are baby steps, we're moving and making progress. And you can't even do baby steps when you're sitting down. Indeed, you're not on a journey if you're sitting down. And you're not on a journey if you're not going somewhere. I've always appreciated what a former professor of mine, Dr. Norman Geisler, who's passed on and some years ago and gone on to be with the Lord. In fact, it was interesting, as somebody that's struggling with Christian faith itself. And I knew he was struggling with it, and I remembered a book that meant so much to me, The Philosophy of Religion by Dr. Geisler, and a co-author, and first published in 1974 and then published again in 1988 when I was a student at Dallas Theological Seminary. In fact, the book had just come out and I was taking the class with Dr. Geisler, and I thought, wow. So I looked up the book only to find out that 52 years later, the book is still in print. And publishers don't print books that don't sell. And in fact, I am now reading it for the third time because I gave it as a gift to this person. But Dr. Geisler used to say that even God can't direct a parked car. Think about that. Even God can't direct a parked car. Indeed, in order to get somewhere, we have to be moving. And you can't get to your intended destination parked motionless on the side of the road. And the intended destination of the Christian life is maturity in Christ. Indeed, again, the Apostle Paul writing to the believers at Ephesus in chapter 4 and beginning at verse 11, and he said, "And Christ gave to the church apostles and prophets and evangelists, shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints, to equip the people of God for the work of ministry, to do the one another's, as we've talked about them in the past, to love one another, to teach one another, to serve one another, to encourage one another, to admonish one another, and so on. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature adult, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, spiritual babies, tossed to and fro by carried about by every wind of teaching, or by human cunning, and by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Or if you like, to be maturing in Christ continuously. And so it's been intriguing to me how some Christians seem to shy away from seriously committing themselves to the process that leads to maturity in Christ, concerned seemingly that if they were to throw themselves into it, that would somehow lead to something that they wouldn't like. But truth be told, spiritual maturity is a lot more satisfying than spiritual immaturity. As much as being a grown-up is more satisfying than being a baby. Now, you think babies are cute and you think they're satisfied, but stop and think. In fact, we had one crying here just a few moments ago. Right? So, change my nappies. Change my diaper. Give me my bottle. Right? Indeed, those who are actively maturing in Christ more often than not are those who are faithful and growing in faith. They are courageous and growing in courage. They are gracious and growing in grace. They're generous and growing in generosity. They're free and growing in freedom. They are joyful and growing in joy. They're peaceful and growing in peace. They're thankful and growing in gratitude. They're wise and growing in wisdom. And what's not to like about that? And if developing such things in your own life sounds good to you, I want to encourage you to work the process. Step one, worship God regularly. Make weekly worship a priority. Jesus did. We talked about that. He was in the synagogue, as was his custom. Step two, grow together faithfully. Take opportunity, every opportunity, to learn and grow together with other believers in small settings. Step three, serve others lovingly, because serving others is this distinguishing mark of true discipleship. And when you do this, all people will know that you're my disciples. And mature in Christ continuously. Indeed, commit yourself to becoming more and more like Christ. Be a student of Christ, a disciple, and learn what He did and imitate His ways, and never stop and watch and see things change. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Not only, Lord Jesus, are you fascinating as we read from one page to the next, and then we read what was written by those who know what you look like, who, as John said in his letter, that which we have touched, that which we have handled, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our own eyes, we declare unto you. But not only are you fascinating, Lord, you call us to follow you, to be covered in your dust. And we do it imperfectly and we struggle because sin still remains, even as Paul described it in our members. But even with that liability still, because the Spirit of God is alive in us and we have been born not just of the flesh, but born of God, we can advance. We can mature. And you call us to it. We pray, Lord, that you give us grace to do it, that such an idea and such a truth would become beautiful to us, such not that we feel like it's pushing us from behind, but drawing us forward because it's so compelling. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.